Johnny,
hello.
How do you feel? And number two, what is Johnny Carson really like?
He's just like any other millionaire from Nebraska. And I feel terrific.
Doc, why did you wait so long to do this album? I'm over here. Hello.
Hello.
Why did you wait so long to do this album? You've been together for 20-something years.
Well, quite truthfully, we were just never asked. I don't think people felt that we could play longer than 20 seconds at a time. I
mean, the best part of the Tonight Show is when the commercials are on.
Well, I think a pretty good time is when they turn us loose and let us play there, too. But Lenny Silver from Amherst Records had an undying belief in the idea of recording the band. And
do you think young people will discover big bands at some point?
Well, many of them already have. I don't think you're going to see big bands touring around the country in buses again, but one of the things that's kept big bands going is the youngsters in the schools.
Well, congratulations. Great orchestra.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, one more question. Just you. This will be our last question.
Hello.
Is winning this Grammy really important to you?
Yes, it is.
Why?
Because this represents that you've done something right, that you're on the right track, and above all, it gives me an opportunity to go back to the guys in the Tonight Show band and see it was really worth all the practice.
Thank you, Jose Feliciano. First question, please.
Mr. Feliciano, although you won your first Grammy in the Best New Artist category, and you've won Grammys in pop music, you've started recording in Spanish, and obviously the name of the album is Going Back to Your Puerto Rican Roots. What can you tell me about this style of music and the future of your music?
Well, the future of my music seems pretty bright because of the fact that I will also be recording in classical and also back in English as well as Spanish. When I started recording records in Spanish back in 1966, they weren't giving really any Grammys for Latin music. So to me, this is a big sense of big accomplishment that I'm really proud.
Jose, tú grabaste Light My Fire en 1968 y no tuviste ningún premio. Ahora que estás ganando Grammys en español, ¿vas a seguir grabando más en español o en inglés?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make...
Please, I'm sorry, I know...
In Spanish?
Okay, I'm going to translate the question in English.
No, pero puedo hacer en español, no hay problema.
Okay, en español, por favor.
Bueno, por ejemplo, sí, yo gané un premio en el 68 por Light My Fire. Gané dos premios. Gané el Best New Artist y Best Performance by a Male Vocalist. Entonces, pues, este para mí este es el cuarto Grammy porque este es el segundo premio que me he ganado en música latina.
José.
Sí.
¿Esta es tu corte favorito del álbum Te Amaré, Lelolai? ¿Fue tu favorito?
No, yo mismo no me explico cómo fue elegido y cómo pasó. Yo en verdad, si quiere que te sea sincero, no pensaba ganar el premio porque es una cosa que uno no sabe tampoco, pero con el tema Lelolai, que en verdad no tuvo el espacio radial que tuvo, por ejemplo, Te Amaré o Se Me Sigue Olvidando, pues para mí es una cosa inexplicable, pero anyway, yo me alegro que haya ganado el premio.
Felicitaciones, José. Queremos hacerte una pregunta junto con las felicitaciones. ¿Cómo te sientes con el hecho de haber tenido que superar y ganar en esta oportunidad a tu gran amigo José?
Bueno, yo me siento, yo le dediqué mi premio a José porque yo creo que José se merecía también el premio Grammy. Y bueno, pues cuando escogen ganadores y perdedores, pues para mí, pues desgraciadamente, José, bueno, para mí él no perdió, sino que no le dieron el premio, pero de todas formas yo le dedico el mío y estoy muy contento de que yo pude, aunque sea, ganar este premio.
José.
Sorry, last question from the woman over here, please.
Yes, I'm interested in knowing what you are going to record in the classical music department and when will it be coming out.
Well, one of the things I intend to do in the classical department, instead of playing other composers' works, which have been played to death, you know, strictly for guitar, I might play a couple that I might like, but basically, I would like to be nominated for a Grammy for original classical music. I have just finished a composition entitled The Mozartian Influence, which is in 7 movements, and I'm going to be playing it for Angel Records, which is the division of EMI, and hopefully there'll be an album forthcoming in that vein. And we'd like to say hello to Dennis Body.
Patrick Williams, please.
Robert, I want to know if the success of your record with rock audiences will help bring the blues to the attention of rock and roll listeners.
I really hope so. And I'm seeing that it's going on right now with what just happened with the album we just won the Grammy for. And that means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to everybody else too. That's what it's about.
Robert, how does Showdown compare with your Strong Persuader album?
Well, it's a different thing to do an album with my band, which I'm with all the time. But I've known Albert since 76, when we started working together off and on the West Coast for a couple of years. And I first saw Albert at my high school graduation party in 1971. And I always wanted to be like Albert Collins, you know. But, you know, I have my own band now, and I mean, it's...
Thank you.
Robert, can you compare? Does it feel different to you when you're working on something that is a rock and roll record as opposed to a blues record, or does it just all feel like music?
It's all music to me, you know. I like all kinds of music. I like listening to people from like Jimi Hendrix to Howlin' Wolf. As long as a song and a groove is good, that's all that matters to me.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dwayne, who are some of your favorite guitar players today, young ones?
That is a hard question. the younger ones. Well, Eddie Van Halen I like. Eric Johnson I like very much. Most of my favorites, people like Albert Lee and James Burton and people like that, George Harrison.
Well, I understand you're working on a new album. It sounds pretty exciting. Could you tell us about it?
Yes, got a new album coming out with Capitol Records. It should be out in May.
Well, who are you working with?
Working with the Art of Noise.
But not only us. Go on.
No, not only those. I have several producers on it. Rye Cooter is producing a couple of sides. The Art of Noise, of course, are producing a couple. Jeff Lynne of ELO is going to do a couple. Paul McCartney did one. George Harrison is playing on it. And that's as far as we've gotten so far. It's not quite
finished. All these different people working on this new album that's not out yet, what will it sound like?
It'll sound like me. It'll be Dwayne Eddy, instrumentals. But no, they're having fun. They're making instrumentals with me, and they're contemporary, but of course with the same guitar sound as I used to have. So it's a lot of fun. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Denise, how did you feel when your name was called, and what are your plans for the future?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't there when my name was called. I was sitting in traffic somewhere, but gosh, just to walk in the door and know that this took place is just wonderful. As far as my plans for the future, plenty more music. We've got a brand new album coming out for Columbia in April, and that's called Water Under the Bridge, and then later on, hopefully, a new album for new gospel album for Sparrow Records.
Denise?
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
As a singer, who would you say were your strongest influences? Who were you listening to and sort of patterning yourself after when you were growing up?
I listen a lot to Nancy Wilson, Mahalia Jackson, Tony Bennett, the Jackie Gleason Orchestra.
Denise?
Aretha Franklin and all of the Motown artists, I think, are some very strong influences for me.
Will you be doing any more work with Philip Bailey or George Duke?
Well, George Duke and Philip Bailey and I are writing together all the time. I would say pretty much that's a possibility of happening because they're friends and we are constantly working.
Denise,
Two questions, ma'am. First of all, congratulations.
Hi, where are you?
I'm sorry, right over here.
Okay, hi.
First of all, 1986 was a year, a golden year for black female artists. We saw a lot of black female artists come to the front, yourself included. What's in the future for you? And what is this? Are you going to stay with gospel, or are you going to go between R&B and gospel?
Well, I'm doing both. I'm still recording secular music for Columbia Records, and as I said, we just completed that album with Steve Levine, so that should be out in April. And then I'll continue to do the gospel music as well. As far as the future, I'm doing a little bit more acting. I just did a television show called Throb, where I played an acting part, not Denise Williams. So I'm trying a little bit of that, and more music, being at home with the boys, just kind of hanging out with my husband and stuff.
Denise, kind of a two-part question. What does it mean to you to be able to win in the gospel category? And also, what about winning with Sandy Patty for that the best duo or group category?
Well, these were very interesting because I went in the studio to do this album as a labor of love. I never thought about an award. I think being with the record company, basically your thoughts tend to go towards charts, a lot of sales, and the Grammys. And that was just something from the heart that I wanted to do. And so I didn't think in terms of winning anything, because I know of all of the other ladies that are involved in the industry are just incredible artists. Secondly, to work with Sandy Patty was just a real joy for me. I've respected her for a lot of years and the gift that God has given to her. And we met and she said, I'd like to sing with you. And I didn't think she was really serious. And so when the album rolled around and I had the song, I asked her and she said yes. So it worked itself out. It's been very special. It's been very special.
Denise, does it get any better than this?
Does it get any better than this? Well, I have my health and my strength. And I have the love of family, and praise God, my husband's here. And, you know, just thanks Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I think that's it for me. Okay.
Does it bother you that the gospel section doesn't get on the live telecast? Do you think there's a problem there where some categories are being presented live and a lot are not?
Well, I think that they are trying to do the best they can of balancing to make sure that everybody gets a shot on television. It's not one of the categories that will appear all the time, but we're hoping that as gospel music continues to get stronger, that it will be one of the categories that it will. Thank you.
The gentleman who was taking a photograph, please put your camera.
No? Okay.
I would like to ask you, what are your thoughts at this particular time, dear?
Well, I think it's pretty ironic that he won for best spoken word. You know, he didn't talk much usually, but I know he'd be really happy. This would make him real proud. So I'm proud to have it and accept it for him.
Choices, the career choices versus the family choices that you had to make, and what sort of sacrifices you gave up and all that. If the choices are different this
time. Are the choices different? I think there's a pendulum that swings, you know. Women want their careers, and then they miss their families. Women who have families miss their careers. And the women are becoming pregnant at a later age nowadays. But there's a kind of, in some cases, they make better mothers because they're older and more mature, more understanding of the process of what it means to be a parent. On the other hand, maybe biologically, we were meant to be younger when we had children. I don't know. I think it's a wonderful time that people are really looking into their own evolution and their own processes and making some strides.
Does winning Grammys become more important to you as you win more of them, or less important? And I'm here.
I have to tell you, I don't like the awards process. You know, I feel that it's very nice to get nominated and be one of the five best. Or in most years, I think sometimes there's two best, three best, one best, four best, seven best. So this is a ceremony for commercial use. So, but I'd rather win than lose, put it that way, you know. I mean, if one is going to be part of it, it's nice to win. What was your question? Okay.
Barbara, do you plan to record in Spanish like it had been rumored at one time, or any other language?
Estudia español para tres años en la escuela superior, pero no puedo hablar. I made one Spanish record, I think, People. But I don't have, I think I sang Evergreen too in Spanish. But I don't have that much time, I mean, because I make films and stuff like that. It takes a lot of my time.
Thank you.
What am I working on? What my next film will be. And we're just about to put out the album of the One Voice concert I did. And then maybe when I have time, start another album, hopefully with Quincy Jones.
Barbara, were you inspired by the success of the Linda Ronstadt album? That's part one. And part two, movie-wise, what are your plans?
I don't know what my next movie will be. I have several projects in development, and so I have to decide which one I'm going to do. I don't know much about other contemporary music. I really don't. I just felt that I had to sing the songs that I love best. I mean, many people, much better singers than I think, they're... You know, what I was going to say is, in terms of pop music, the singers around today, I think, really do these pop songs justice. I mean, I feel that my forte are songs that have a story, that have a character, that I can approach as an actress. So I really felt it was time for me to do what I do best. As I say, the album I made before this, many singers could sing those songs and probably better than I could.
What do you plan on doing in the future now that you did everything?
Now that I did everything?
Practically.
What do I plan to... I plan to work on having a happy life, spending time with people I love, doing good work as a filmmaker, directing more films.
Barbara, before your answer, I wanted to know if you find it as difficult as the rest of us do that you've been doing this since 1963, winning these things, but when you just answered that, I'd like to know who are these singers that you consider far better than you?
Well, I mean, I don't know much about pop music, I have to tell you that. That must have been in the other room I said this, I don't listen to the radio. When I finish making an album, I'm so tired of listening to music that if I listen to the radio, it's a classical station. And most of the time, I just enjoy the silence, you know, listening to the birds chirp. But at times, I just hear these records, they have wonderful backgrounds and the singers do all kinds of great things. I don't know necessarily who they are, but they do things that I really can't do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To see on this album with you as far as production wise of writers?
Well, I can tell you the producers, Nara Michael Walden, Kashif, Jelly Bean Benitez, and Michael Masser. And I did a duet with my mother. Yes. Say that again, please.
I said you. The Greatest Love of All so many times at this point. I wonder what you're thinking of now when you're singing it.
I feel the same way I do when I recorded it about The Greatest Love of All. I love it. It's the song.
What did you feel when you were recording it?
Very special. I've been singing that song since I was about 12 years old before I even recorded it, so it's just as special as it is today to me.
Mm-hmm. Whitney, with the likes of Dionne Warwick, your cousin, with Sissy Houston, Aretha Franklin, and so forth, such strong influences on you as a child. I wonder, what did you learn from them musically? Not the personal side of it so much, but musically as a singer that perhaps you're using today.
I think what I learned from my mother from the beginning is to sing from the soul, from the heart. You know, and that way when you deliver that, everybody else will be able to understand and feel the same thing. You know, that's what I learned. Yeah.
Tell me, how do you regard the Grammy Awards? Is it fun for you to be here, or is it a bit of a chore?
It's a lot of fun to be here. I think if it was a chore, I don't think I would come. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you, Susan.
Go ahead. Because of the phenomenal success you had with your first album, what kind of pressure do you feel with the second one that you're currently working on? I'm doing it just like my first one, giving it my best shot, and it's out there and you guys got it, so it's up to you. Okay. I gotta go. Bye-bye.
After Whitney is Simply Red.
Soul music.
Very significant, I would say.
But how so?
Huh?
How so?
We grew up listening to it. That's how significant it was. It's part of our culture.
Culture. Northern culture.
Are you guys nervous at all about, you know, what you're up for tonight?
We know.
I was nervous. I'm a nervous guy.
What was the inspiration behind the song you were nominated for tonight, Money's Too Tight to Mention?
Not having any.
Hello. When can we expect your next album?
March the 9th.
About 2 weeks. Will it be sort of like your debut album, heavily soul, Motown influenced?
It sounds like Simply Red, but it's not a copy of the first one.
Right.
It's Simply Red Part 2, not Picture Book Part 2.
Thank you.
Excuse me, right over here. Do you consider yourselves a political band?
I don't consider us an apolitical band. I think anybody who isn't political should wake up.
Hello. Has success changed this band at all? And if it has, how?
Well, we've never been to a place like this before, have we?
No.
So it's changed us in that way.
Quite a few people have given up smoking as well.
Yeah, I've given up smoking to try and improve my voice. That's about it. And we've seen the world. I've never been out of England until I was 21. I'm 26 now, so it's quite a big step forward for me. All right.
Oh, it's true.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Bruce. How you doing?
Are you the first question here?
I guess so.
Mr. Mark Felsot?
Go ahead. First off, congratulations to you and the band.
Thank you, Mark.
Besides having an album full of great songs, why do you think over a million people went out and bought The Way It Is?
Well, I guess I kind of answered a question similar to this there. Steve, hey man, I think that, once again, as I was saying, I think that it's maybe because it sounds a little different. It's not your typical top 40 sounds or song, and so, yes it is, George says. He thinks it is, so do you mind if we have a little inter-band argument up here? Anyway, kind of like when Sultans of Swing came out with Dire Straits, and it was such a different song for the radio, and it really made people more interested in the group as opposed to just another top 40 song. That's my call. With all the piano, all the kind of jazziness of it, it maybe sets it apart from the usual radio stuff. As good as I can do, Mark. Have me on Rockline, and I'll have a...
Bruce,
yes.
Do you feel like you're competing with yourself right now with Jacob's Ladder at number 2 and Mandolin Rain at number 7, I believe?
Not really. Yeah, you can't lose, exactly. As Joe says, you can't, I mean, it's, yeah, I think it's a wonderful competition between, you know, when you're competing with yourself. I don't feel that at all. I'm just amazed that they're both up there.
Did Huey say anything when you knocked him out of the number 1 spot?
When? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he just likes it. He just, you know, he feels great because he feels a bit vindicated now because he was always waving the Bruce Hornsby flag around for years and no one would listen. So I think he's feeling pretty good now because he's looking pretty good.
Bruce, talking about Huey Lewis, when I met you in Munich.
Right, that's where we saw her. Yeah, Munich.
From Vienna, yes. You told me that you met him playing golf, which was only a good story I read.
Good story, I think.
You should tell me the right story now.
The right story is we met through a song. He wanted to record a song that my brother John and I had written. It was our song about sorority girls and, society girls.
So the story is not so funny.
Yeah, it's just a pretty typical story. So Huey and I get asked that question so much, we thought just for our own sanity we'd make up a good one.
Give him the golf story.
That's right. Give him the golf story. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bruce, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yours is a wonderful sound that sort of stretches rock into folk and other areas. Do you think with the success of your band and other groups that are not sort of one kind of sounding rock, that that'll help people hear more kinds of music on the radio?
I hope so. I think that this is kind of a wide open time where you've got, you know, Bon Jovi next to Janet Jackson, next to us, next to Prokofiev. And I think it's... I think that, yeah, I hope that that's a sign of the times, because that's a good thing if it can be, if it allow a lot of different types of music in. Billy Vera, you know, that old rhythm and blues, you know, there's another really out there one for you. So I hope so.
Okay, now.
Thank you.
Bruce, I'm from Jazz Times Magazine, and I heard you say jazziness. What influence does jazz have on your work?
Well, I went to University of Miami, as did Pete and Molo, and we kind of studied jazz there. So I went through Bill Evans and Bud Powell and Wynton Kelly and on up through like the McCoy Tyner and Keith Jarrett. And I think Keith Jarrett's my biggest influence. And that's sort of jazz-ish playing translates more to rock to me. Okay.
Bruce,
Keith Richardson.
I'm sorry, what's the story of The Range? How did the band come together? How did you guys all get together?
Well, I think we should let one of the other guys answer that question. Joe?
Joe.
Well, he's a little bit taller than I am, but I was just talking to Mike McDonald. It was a historic evening about 6 years ago that we walked into a bar in Norfolk, Virginia.
That's right, Hampton, Virginia.
In Hampton, Virginia, and he was playing in a lounge. This is when I was on tour with the group Ambrosia, and Mike was with the Doobie Brothers. We were playing together, and we saw this guy playing, who had come to the hotel and said, "Hey, come see my band, this brash young kid."
Right.
And we went to see this guy, and Mike McDonald got knocked out and said, "Well, you got to come to L.A. if you want to make it." And we connected originally from this bar there. We were the only guys he knew. And then gradually, John, who was his drummer, way back then in Virginia, was the only guy left from the original band that came out from Virginia, John Molo.
That's right.
So they needed a bass player, so I got in the band. They needed a fiddle player who could play guitar, and Dave Mansfield got in the band. George Marinelli was playing with a band called Billy and the Beaters. They got him in the band. And then when Dave Mansfield was doing
The Sicilian,
the soundtrack to the movie The Sicilian, Peter Harris came in to the band, because he went to school with him at the University of Miami, Florida.
That's it.
We put The Range together 3 years ago, and it was the five of us without Pete, okay? And we made some demos, played around town a bit, got passed on by everybody, and then we kept the band together, and when David couldn't do the tour, Pete joined us, and that's basically the quick story of this band.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Esther.
First question, please.
Anita? I saw you at the Beverly Wilshire around New Year's Eve. You're one of the greatest performers I've seen.
New Year's Eve?
The 2nd of January. No more tears.
Okay.
Are you sorry that the pop audience didn't really respond to the Songstress album?
Well, I don't know, because I wasn't very pleased with the Songstress album. The diction was horrible. The production, there were a lot of things that I wasn't satisfied with about that album. And I'm kind of glad it happened the way it did.
Thank you.
Miss Baker, this has been a beautiful year for you. First the Image Award,
sir.
Now the Grammy Awards. Please tell us the excitement that goes into you, the emotion of what that award means to you.
It means that all of the hours that we spent, my producer and my arranger and I in the studio bucking each other up, and I mean, me screaming at him when he was laying on the couch asleep because I was doing a line 10 times over again. It means that it pays off. That hard work pays off, and I can, you know, stick with that ethic and keep it in my brain.
What's your plans for the future?
We're gonna the road tour will wind up on the 5th of April, and we'll take about 30 days off, and then we'll go into pre-production for the next project.
Ms. Baker? Ms. Baker?
What?
Ms. Baker? Here?
I don't know. I'm connected somehow. I think the fact that forget the fact that she was a troubled woman in terms of her personal relationships and what have you, but she was one of those women who did what she wanted no matter what other people thought about it or what they said about it, and I think that's maybe where we're connected. I kind of go against the grain a little bit. To her personally, but her music, just the content of the lyrics, is enough to relate to.
Ms. Baker, tell me, do you see the success of your current album as sort of validating, driving home the point that it's still possible to have success without a gimmick, struggling along on just good talent and good songs?
Well, I hope so. Looking at the success of Whitney Houston and other, artists that just come out and sing or do whatever it is that they do, I think it does reinforce the fact that you don't gotta get pink hair.
Okay, two quick questions.
Baby, good to see you again. Okay. Somebody wanted me to ask you about when you were getting married.
Well, I'm trying to get us squared away in one city by January of next year. And if we can do that, then we can do the nuptials in the spring.
Well, congratulations. You're going to move back to Detroit or somewhere else?
Troy.
Okay, good. Now, real quick, what about your duet with Darrell Coleman and maybe even the gospel thing, perhaps?
Darrell and I are on the road together now. He's opening for us. We're looking for, the right song to do, but we are going to duet. And we're going to do a song also with the Winans on their upcoming album. We're looking forward to that. Gospel, yeah, the Winans.
I want to ask you if, by winning this award today, this will allow you to follow through with some of your plans, I know, which is to perform more jazz.
This is true. I hope it will. We're going to get a chance to do, something traditional tonight on the show if I don't pass out. I hope it will. I'm going to do some more traditional stuff on the next album, but just one track per album.
Gregory Abbott, ladies and gentlemen, questions?
What does the card say, baby?
Gregory Abbott.
Mr. Abbott, sir, I was picking up a copy of the Rolling Stone, and already you're being compared to Luther Vandross, Freddie Jackson, people like that in your styling and also the kind of music you're putting out. How do you feel about that personally?
I think it seems to be human nature to compare, so I don't feel any way about it. I think they're two fine artists, so the comparisons don't bother me.
Gregory, hi, Robin Carter, Players Magazine.
Uh-huh.
What projects should we look for from you in the future? Are you interested in acting? Should we look for any television, film work?
Yeah, just yesterday I did All My Children, and it was dramatic acting and singing. And I'm now considering some TV and film properties, and that would be a combination of singing and straight dramatic acting.
Gregory, Ron Brewington from Sheridan Broadcasting. How you doing, sir? Listen, this has been a fabulous year for you. You had the number one record. Are we going to see? Is this new record you got out? Please tell us about it and where you think it's going to go.
Number one, absolutely. Is there any other place? It was actually earmarked to be the first single on the album until I wrote Shake You Down. So now it's become the second. We did a video on it, and it's going up the charts in a way that's satisfactory to us. So we're happy about it. Thank you.
Me and Terry. Robin Carter, Players Magazine.
Hi, Robin Carter.
Hello, darling.
I read you
Listen,
all the time.
Hey, that's right. You got on my focus. Listen, darling, I want to know, you guys have had, no, really, you've had, three top 10 singles in 1 month back in November. You've got success all over the charts. How do you plan to keep your music fresh? How do you plan to not be overexposed and people say, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis?
Well, the only way
not to get overexposed, I suppose, is to take a long vacation, which we will probably do. Is this better? Okay. The artists that we work with keep us fresh. Whenever we start with a new artist, it's a fresh approach and new songs and a new voice and new personalities to work with. And that's what keeps us fresh as the artists that we work with. So we won't have any problem with that.
Okay. Jimmy, I want to ask you, who comes to whom? Do you come to them? Do they come to you? Do you control who you work with?
They come to us, and we either say yes or no.
Okay.
And we control it.
Are you surprised that people like Patty Austin, the SOS band, haven't caught on like the Human League and Janet Jackson? And my second part of the question is, could you tell us about the time reuniting for Janet Jackson's movie?
Okay. Yeah, on the first question, every artist is going to appeal to a little bit different crowd. Patty Austin, I thought, was successful from the viewpoint that we brought her along, especially on the R&B charts and on the dance charts, where she hadn't really had anything for a while. So success is relative. It's like, obviously, the Human League had sold millions of records before, so there was an audience out there for them. Who was the other person you mentioned? Well, SOS band, I mean, their three albums that we've done have all gone gold, so somebody's getting to them. I don't know who's buying them, but... Well, the movie is basically a movie about the time, and Janet will be one of the lead players in along with Morris Day.
Who, Jimmy and Terry?
Hey,
who's next and why? Who are you going to produce next and why?
Okay, we're producing Alexander O'Neill and Sherelle, who are two artists that we produced a couple of years back, and they've been waiting patiently to get some new material from us, and so they're the top priority right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Huh? No.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you guys can't leave without saying something to the scope. Get out of here.
Would you raise your hand so we can see where the mics have to go? Brian Wilson. Any questions for Mr. Wilson?
Brian, what are you up to? What are you working on?
Well, recently we've been up to some new things. It's been more or less a rock and roll venture than it has been anything else. We're slowly evolving into a rock form that we're happy with, you know? And it looks like very shortly, within the next 2-3 months, we'll have an album wrapped up. No, that doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means that... I don't know.
You look great. Could you give us the Brian Wilson diet?
Diet? Oh, well, I'll tell you, you should eat vegetables. I don't eat steak or candy bars, you know. And I exercise a lot, a hell of a lot, you know. We all do. And that's really one of my secrets of my longevity is that I stay young. Throughout the years, I stay young, you know. I feel like a 22-year-old guy, you know. And that's amazing when you can really say that at 44, you know.
Brian, a solo album is coming out soon. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, the solo album is coming out in March, or March or April, and we sang the our single off the off solo album. We sang that on a special that we did in Hawaii.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is he going? Sorry, tried.
Please have your questions ready.
Thank you. Okay. You can hang meat in here, huh? Everybody's got a coat? Anybody got a coat?
You're going to have to go get them.
I have a question you've probably been asked before. I'm curious as to whether the music comes first or the words.
Both. It's always different. Sometimes it's music first, sometimes it's a lyric first, and we can work either way.
Does being happily married enhance your music together?
We're happily married and always.
Now that your work has done a lot for AIDS research, would you like to see other performers doing the same thing?
Yes.
You just can't get enough. I just can't get enough out. I mean, really. There is no such thing as overkill in this, in a disease that kills like this.
As we get older, it's easier to write about all those wonderful things about friends and all of that. Or is it just natural for you?
I always wrote about friendship.
Did you?
It always meant a great deal to me. I think it's a theme that I write about. I didn't know that it would take on the proportion that it did in this case, but it seems to be a easy thing to write about.
Were you surprised that the song won, considering it was, what, recorded over 3 years ago by Rod Stewart in a movie?
No.
No, because it was not known. I mean, you know, it's like a new song. It had no life really of its own. It never was as a single, never was released as a single. Just served a purpose at the end of the picture.
Hi. Was it difficult getting people together to do the song, or was it a group decision, or was
No, a lot of love. A lot of love.
Dion chose to sing with Stevie and Gladys and then Clive Davis from Arista Records suggested Elton, and everyone responded right away.
Excuse me. When the song was written, was it written specifically for the AIDS cause?
No.
Because it was. So whose idea was it to adapt it for that?
Mine.
Could you expound on that, how the idea came about? And first of all, did you realize that this AIDS thing was as serious?
Not as serious as we know today, but certainly serious. We'd already known people dear to the world who were lost, and Elizabeth Taylor, who is a friend of ours, had been telling us how terrible this was and how even more terrible it was going to become. And when we heard the song that night, in its rough form, just with two artists on it, Dion and Stevie, Bert and I spoke, and we felt like it just felt so right if we could get everyone to donate their monies to AMFAR, American Foundation for AIDS Research. And there was just no resistance. Dion said, great. Stevie said, great. Gladys, Elton, Arista Records, everyone was just there in a really supportive way. So that's how it happened.
Okay, thank you.
May we have our questions ready, please? First question. Sir?
Thank you.
Gentleman over here.
B.B. King, hello, sir. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes.
I'd like to ask you about a quote that you gave a magazine about 10 years ago. It's always been a favorite of mine, and if you remember it, I'd like to ask you to explain it for me. You said that playing the blues is like being black twice.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Can you tell me what
well,
you meant
at that time, things have changed somewhat from then until now. But at that time, it seemed like to me that I wasn't accepted by my own people, and I wasn't accepted by white people as well. And then it seemed like it was kind of hard not only to get people to listen to this kind of music, but it seemed like I was put down for playing it. That was the reason why I made that statement, but some of that has changed today. Quite a bit of it has changed today. I'm happy to say that I'm not put down simply for doing this kind of music, and I've started to feel real good now when they say B.B. King, the blues player. It used to be when they'd say B.B. King, the blues player, it seemed like they were just saying B.B. King, the put down, you know. Yes. It's different today.
Will we
yes.
see you at the Jazz Festival again this year?
I hope so.
I hope so. Too.
Thank you. I'm not sure yet.
B.B.?
Yes.
You are one of, if not the blues guitar master. I wonder if we can have your feelings on some of the newcomers in blues guitar, particularly Stevie Ray Vaughan and Robert Cray.
I like them both. I think they're both terrific, and I think that the blues won't suffer when myself and some of the other older players is not around. I think that they're going to really carry it on. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the explanation as to why blues has suddenly gone back into the mainstream?
Well, I think that people are starting to give us a chance. That's kind of like the question I was asked a while ago about being black twice. Now we're kind of starting to get a chance, at least tonight, we've had a better chance than ever before, that I can remember. At least we were able to do a couple of tunes and featured quite a few of the great performers, I think, that's in the business. And I think that's the one thing that will help it out. And I'd like to also add that I feel that this is the roots of the music that you're hearing from. So tonight, I believe that the Grammys have kind of had, shall we say, represented, they've represented the most old kind of music tonight. Not as much as I would like, but I think better than ever before.
Yeah, do you think people like Robert Cray will bring in a younger audience that you never really had?
It's possible, but our audience that I'm playing to these days is just as young as the ones that he's playing to, so I think he'll have them longer because he'll be around much longer. But the young people that Robert is playing to, we've been playing to them for quite some time now.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Can we get the mic working here? What's up?
Yeah. How did you decide what
you were going to... Can you turn this up? Get it loud. Thanks.
How did you decide what you were going to wear to the Grammy Awards?
Oh, is this like the British press or something? Now you're going to snap on our clothes, right? Oh, okay. And then you're going to make fun of us. Okay.
No, go ahead.
You know, it's kind of like you wake up in the morning, you roll over, you have your first beer, you look at what you have on, and you figure, I look pretty good.
Can we parlay that into the next question? Can you turn this up?
If you had to define the group, the Beastie Boys, for someone who came down from Mars and didn't know who you were, what would you say?
Marie Osmond getting an anal tongue dart from Ricky Powell.
Something we can use on the radio, guys. Come on. This is radio.
It's kind of like Donnie and Marie, like, thrown in a blender and put it on high and, you know,
don't know
don't
if
put
you can
the top
really
on.
Define the Beastie Boys without using styles.
It's a melting pot.
A bouillabaisse, if I may cut in. A smorgasbord.
Question!
Hi. When someone is a Beastie Boy fan, they really are a Beastie Boy fan. They're really committed. What is your appeal? Why are your fans so committed and loyal to you?
That's a stupid question. No, I'm sorry.
So give me a stupid answer then.
What it is that we're not bullshit artists or yes men. And I think people respect that, okay? If we could just go with that.
I'm sorry.
Specifically, do you avoid being a bullshit artist or a yes man? What is it that you do?
You know what it is that we do?
Let's show her what we do, Yuck. Any more questions?
Yeah, tell us about the movie that you're working on.
Tell us about your career, Slugger. We got a movie coming out. We're making it in the summertime. It's called Scared Stupid. And it's possibly the worst movie that'll ever be made in quite a while. It's about these girls with big... No, it's about... well, I don't know. You'll see. It's about us in a haunted house. This is DJ Hurricane, the finest DJ known to man.
Give him a round of applause!
Kane?
He must be new. You never actually seen a Beastie Boys show?
Oh, no!
Where you from, Mars?
You gotta fight
for it.
Yes? All of us? Yes.
You gotta fight.
All right, is there any more questions?
Yeah, I got a question. You gotta fight for your right to party. Where did, how'd the song evolve? How did that song get cut?
Huh?
Your single. It evolved out of sort of an early jazz fusion jam we had, you know, quite a few years ago. We just sort of parlayed our ideas into more of a...
That's actually Robert Cray playing guitar on Fight for at the Party. Not many people know that.
Any more
Thanks.
Questions?
Why do you think Michael Jackson would not let you do I'm Down?
It had something to do with a surgical mask or an oxygen tent.
We can't hear you.
It was either that his hair caught fire or a surgical mask or an oxygen tent or something. I'm not quite clear on exactly what it was.
A big dick up his ass or something.
Any comments on the cancellation of a couple concerts in Southern California?
No comment on the concerts that were canceled in Southern California.
Is it true?
There's only one concert. We've been sold out everywhere we go. We're sold out
right,
there. Not too worried.
That is so bad.
Is it true that Run DMC writes all your songs?
Yes. Well, they also dress us, and they also actually Run is my mother, to be perfectly honest. No, I don't think. If you read the credits on the record, you can figure that one out.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again.
Oh, well.
Hey, Bob, tell them what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, brother.
James? Oh, I'm sorry. Can we do that in stereo?
James, how's the new baby?
Oh, fine. She's 5 pounds and so many ounces, and she's great. Thank you.
Cynthia Weil said she never expected this song to be a hit. In fact, she never expected it to be sung by you and Linda. It was just supposed to be part of an American tale. So did you expect it to be a hit when you recorded it with Linda?
Well, it's hard to say. It's, you know, I think that anything that Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann write, to me, I mean, the scraps are hits to me. So it's hard for me to say because I'm biased, you know. Those are my favorite songwriters. They actually started my career with Just One, so it's hard for me to really speak on it. How you doing?
James, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Can you tell me, coming up, your heroes in terms of music, who did you shape yourself after? Who did you pattern after?
As far as a singer, Ray Charles. I mean, because he crossed over into pop, jazz, R&B, rock and roll, the whole, but Marvin Gaye, Donny Hathaway, the whole Motown syndrome. All of those brothers helped me develop my style.
Hi, James. Hi, James.
Oh, how you doing?
Hi. How about the Oscar nomination?
Pardon?
How do you feel about the Oscar nomination?
I feel that it's another blessing. Competition? I don't really know because I don't really actually know what's up and I haven't heard all the music. So I don't know what we're up against, you know, but to just be a nominated to me is like an honor.
James, you've collaborated with a lot of really talented people. How does working with Linda compare with some of the duets and trios that you've done before?
Well, it's hard to compare because we're all individuals. It's just like you have your own fingerprints, you know what I'm saying? And the combination of me and Linda is that unique thing because we're two different individuals, you know, so it's hard to really compare. And plus the material that you presented at that time, it's really hard to really compare. It's just that it's a now hit.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm working for it now. Now, whether it makes it or not is a whole situation, because you know with that process, working with Quincy as writer. The album? Right. I don't know for sure.
Wait a minute.
No, because you know Quincy working on the blues and the melodies, so I'm trying to look at that. See, because that's 2/3 of the song, the lyrics and the other thing. If I can't convince him with the melody and the blues, there's no, I don't take a lot of time on story. I make up a whole lot of frame stuff. Go see if I'm the ballpark. Mm-hmm. You understand, Lee?
Okay.
Could you tell us why you're moving to New York and if that's going to be permanent?
I'll tell you and then Pierre can tell you. It's definitely not going to be permanent. We're moving to New York because we have a very vital part of our industry in New York City, the headquarters of many major record companies, a large classical contingent, a large Broadway contingent, and we think it's a great opportunity to bring those people into what we're doing and also probably showcase Broadway next year.
Are you pleased with the extent to which the classical industry is recognized by the Grammys? Has that been getting stronger and stronger, in your opinion, as a part of the recording industry?
Am I pleased as to how the classical industry is involved with the Grammys? Yeah, you know, the classical categories are more categories than any other music form has in our academy, and that's because they are very intrinsically different. We've had a few problems in the classical field in the last couple of years, but I think we've gotten them straightened out now, and Miss Kathleen Battle is about to come on and do a spectacular job of Ave Maria.
Mike, can you tell us about the what's happening with the Naris Hall of Fame, the status?
The Academy's Museum, officially named the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences Museum, is scheduled to open in 18 months in Atlanta, Georgia, and will be about a 40,000 square foot complex, which will be mostly educationally interactively based and will house our Hall of Fame awards along with a consciousness raising of music.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bobby?
I got a chair so I can sit down.
Hello.
The extra chair, yes.
Okay.
Hello. Bobby, would you describe your style of music for us? And is your winning a Grammy an acceptance of your kind of art form?
Yeah, I think perhaps it might be. How would I describe my art form? I think where I spend most of my time as an artist is in the unsayable things, you know. I feel, for myself as a singer, there are hundreds and thousands of vocalists who can interpret a lyric, you know, exceptionally well, and a lot better than I can. And I also feel that what has been untouched by a lot of vocalists is the area of the unsayable things, you know, because I think that words are simply windows for feelings that we have. You know, for example, you know, if I need some comfort or some strength from a friend, and we end up maybe spending the time in their living room simply looking at each other or breathing together, you know, it can bring comfort that alone without having to say anything at all. So I think that that's pretty much basically where I live as an artist, is in that realm of the unsayable types of things.
Bobby?
Yeah.
How did you start doing that? Did you think about it, or did that just start coming naturally?
Well, the technique pretty much came out of necessity, because at first I had the idea of being a solo vocalist, but I didn't know exactly what to do or how to do it. And I think that as I began trying to experiment with solo things, the technique simply came, you know, by itself.
Okay, question for Herbie. Yeah, what was your reaction when you heard you were going to be nominated, when you got nominated for an Academy Award?
I had been asleep. I was in New York, because I was working on my album in New York, that morning, I was awakened by the guy who's actually, sometimes he functions as road manager, but anyway, we were sharing an apartment in New York for a couple weeks that I was there working on the record, and all of a sudden I heard him shuffling around, and he saw me stir. And he said, congratulations. I said, what? He said, you got the nomination. I was shocked. I was very, very shocked, you know. This is something there's no way I could have dreamed it could happen, because I've been in the field of music, making records, you know, performing all my life. I've been doing movie scores for a long time, but it's been really scattered. I've only done six, but the first one I did was in 1966. But it's never been like a major part of my career, obviously, because I've been in the business since 61. But I guess the Oscars is probably the oldest of the entertainment awards that's happening today. So, I mean, you know, as a kid, when I was a kid, they didn't have the Grammys, you know. So, I mean, I remember that from being a kid, so it was very much a wonderful surprise for me. Thank you.
Are you surprised by the complete success of... I'm over here.
Oh, right.
Where is that voice coming from?
Yeah, right.
Are you surprised by the success of Round Midnight just in general, not just musically, but the entire film having such an impact?
The thing that is the most pleasant surprise, which I'd like to address myself to, is the response of the American public. Because that was the thing we were most worried about. We figured the film will do fine in France, it'll do fine through most of Europe, it'll do fine in Japan, which incidentally, it didn't do so fine in Japan. Oddly enough, nobody can figure out why. But we were really worried about America, because we figured there's no sex, there's no violence, there's none of the things that you associate with what Americans accept. And it's very slow-paced, and all these things that everybody says, no way, right? I'm really proud to be an American when I see that kind of response, though, really. By the way, let me say something about this guy here. He's an amazing, amazing musician, because as a piano player, most of the time when I have to play behind singers, I can't use the same kinds of devices that I use behind instrumentalists. And Bobby is the only singer that I know where I can use the same kinds of things behind him that I can behind an instrumentalist. His voice is truly an instrument with that kind of perfect pitch, and it's a pleasure to work with him. Yeah. Congratulations, Bobby.
No, well, no, I don't at this point, but I grew up playing, there was always a piano around the house. I played clarinet, I played flute, I played some recorder, I studied a little bit of cello, you know. So I pretty know what instruments, what goes into, you know, playing another instrument, but I still think that the voice is, you know, is the hardest instrument of all, because you can't see the mechanism, it's all inside, you know.
Mio have got to have one of the hottest two songs, Word Up and Candy. Tell us about that, and what's next for Cameo?
Back and Forth. Back and Forth is definitely next, our next single. Please buy it. My mother will thank you, and
Larry,
I will thank you.
How do you explain the success of this album as opposed to the others? You're doing basically the same thing, am I right?
That's absolutely right. And we're
doing how do you feel? What's your explanation for it crossing into the pop market?
I think it's a change of regime over at PolyGram Records. Mr. Dick Asher, in particular, decided to give us the type of exposure we've been asking for some time.
So they're really behind the album, huh?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Larry, what does crossover mean to you? You've had very impressive success with this record. Is that a goal when you're recording the album?
Yes, it was. Actually, it's been our goal for some time. But what crossover means to us is exposure to the masses. We've always felt as if more people got to hear our music, they'd buy our records.
You're right.
Question? Hello, again.
Hey.
What was the highlight for you of tonight's show?
A couple. Paul Simon winning the Album of the Year, and Anita Baker for her Grammy. I thought she really deserved it. I've been working a long time for her.
What's Cameo going to be doing this year? A tour?
We're doing a tour, a movie. We're producing other artists. We're going to be very busy. Yes, we will.
When will we see you in Southern California?
You'll see us in Southern California starting about the 9th of April. We start our U.S. tour the 6th of April in Seattle, Washington, and we work our way down.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Larry, how would you describe your role in Cameo? Is it pretty much, it's your baby. How complete is your control? How democratic is the band?
We have, we all have common goals, and it's a collaboration. We all do different things, just like the parts of an engine. Someone might be a battery, another person a spark plug, but it's the efficiency of the whole engine that makes a big difference. I direct the power of the ship. That's correct.
Do you guys see a movie deal in your future?
Absolutely. Tacky Guy.
In the next year, 87?
This year.
Okay.
We're shooting this year. It'll be released early next year.
Is that good?
Thank you. Okay.